Blog Talk Radio. listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets, and more specifically, welcome to the War Room for this Monday, September the 4th, 2023. Tonight in the War Room, we will be standing in the gap and intercessing for the government. But before we get into the teachings and the prayers for tonight, I just want to start by asking God to come on in and stand with us. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come once again before your throne of grace, just asking, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. And we come praising you and thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity to come out tonight together as a family, standing in the gap to lift up brothers and sisters and governments all over this world. Lord God, I pray that you would use our prayers and our teachings, oh God, to encourage your people. And Lord, I pray that you will use these teachings tonight to give others hope. Hallelujah. To give others encouragement and empowerment, Lord God. So I just thank you, Lord God, for all the mighty servant leaders that are here, all the people that are in the studio, all of those that are in the chat room or listening via their computers. Lord God, I just want you to get the glory. So let me and all of us decrease, Lord, so that you can have the increase. Because you said if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men into yourself. And that's what we want you to do, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Well, family, saints, friends, you know, before I get started, I just want to give honor to God, and then I want to give honor to these phenomenal servant leaders here at Spirit Alive. Tonight I'm being joined by Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. I'm being joined by Bishop Lester Carver, by Pastor Vanessa Carver, by Minister Tina Brown, by Apostle Zeta Flowers, and we have our elders in the house, our most beloved elders, Elder Lee and Sister Terry Larson. Praise the Lord. So on behalf of all of us, we just welcome you here on tonight. Now, note, I said tonight we are coming together for prayer and intercession. This is not going to become a vent session. You see, because I want you to know from the jump, from the start, out the gate, I don't care if you're Democrat, I don't care if you're Republican, I don't care if you're independent or libertarian, let me explain something to you. Jesus is still king, okay? Amen. So we don't really care about your political affiliations up in here tonight. We're coming up in here to pray for the government, and we want them to get back to being what God created them to be. Yeah. You know how I know? Pick up your Bibles right now and turn with me to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going. See, I know as we look at the states of the government right now, the governments of the world right now, you know, we might think, oh, they're of the devil. Oh, no, they're not. The governments were not, they were not created by the devil, and they are not governed by him. Let me show you how I know. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, let me explain something to you. The connection between Romans 12 and 13 is very clear. Now, what this is saying is if a Christian shouldn't seek personal vengeance, it still doesn't take away the government's authority to punish wrongdoers. And notice here that it says, let every soul. You know why? Because every soul should be subject to the governing authorities.
Amen.
Now, and this was put in there on purpose because this was in contrast to the groups of zealous Jews in that day who recognized no king but God and paid taxes to no one but God. But we need to understand we subject ourselves to governing authorities because they are appointed by God and serve a purpose in his plan. You see, God appoints a nation's leader, but it's not always to bless the people. Sometimes it is to judge the people or to ripen that nation for judgment.
Yes.
Now, what we need to remember is Paul is writing all of this during the reign of the Roman Empire, which was not a democracy. And it was not just, you know, and it wasn't really a friend of the Christians. Yet Paul still recognized their legitimate authority. And since governments have authority from God, we are bound to obey them unless, of course, they order us to do something in contradiction to God's law. Then we are commanded to obey God before man, just as we can read in Acts 4 and 19. Then this goes on to say, those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You see, God uses governing authorities as a check, a system of check and balances upon man's sinful desires and their tendencies. Government can be an effective tool in resisting the effects of man's fallenness. Amen.
Amen.
Verses 3 and 4, let's look at it. It says, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. See, what Paul was telling us is we as Christians, we should be the best citizens of all. You know.
Amen.
Now, first of all, even though we're loyal to God, before we're loyal to any state, we are Christians. We are good citizens because we're honest. We don't give any trouble to the state. We pay our taxes. But now let me get down to the real nitty-gritty of the situation. We stop and pray for the state and the rulers of this world. You see, God describes government officials as God's ministers. So they have a ministry in the plan and administration of God, just as much as church leaders do. If state rulers are God's ministers or servants, I think that they should remember that they're only servants and not God themselves.
Amen.
You know, it is through the just punishment of evil that government serves its function in God's plan of holding man's sinful tendencies in check. And when a government fails to do this consistently, it opens itself up to God's judgment and correction. Now, the sword that's referenced here is in reference to capital punishment. In the Roman Empire, criminals were typically executed by beheading with a sword. Crucifixion was reserved for the worst criminals of the lowest class. Yeah. But Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has no doubt that the state has the legitimate authority to execute criminals.
Right.
Verses 5 and 6. It says, therefore you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's minister, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Okay? So we already know we have to be subject to the government, not only because we fear punishment, but because we know it is right before God.
Amen.
And you need to understand something. Christian obedience to a state is never done in the blind. Okay? We're supposed to enter things as God's people with our eyes wide open and our conscience very sharp and in tune. We are to pay taxes that are due because there is a sense in which we support God's work when we do so. By implications, Romans 13:6 also says that the taxes collected are to be used by the government to get the job done of restraining evil and keeping an orderly society. It does not say anything in there about enriching the government officials themselves, you see.
Amen.
Taxes, customs, fear, honor. We are to give to the state the money, honor, and proper reverence which are due to the state. All the while now, we reserve our right to give to God that which is God alone.
Yes.
Look at Matthew 22 and 21 if you want to check that out. Now, let me tell you something. If we as citizens have a choice between two governments, it's always going to be right to choose the one that promotes what is most legitimate in God's eyes, the one that which will best fulfill God's purpose for a government. And in a democracy, we understand that there is a sense in which we are the government and should not hesitate to help govern our democracy through our participation in the democratic process. But then we need to go on and look at verses 8 through 10. And see, we're talking about what a real government looks like, what God created it to be. Verses 8 through 10. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Love does no harm to their neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. On a personal level, the only debt we are to carry is that debt to love one another.
Yes.
This is a perpetual obligation we carry both before God and before each other. Now, I know some people, you know, they get to taking dispersions with the word, and they take this as a command to never borrow. But that's not true, because Jesus permitted borrowing in the passage like Matthew 5:42. That isn't the sense of what Paul is saying here through the scriptures, though the scriptures do remind us the dangers and the obligations of borrowing in Proverbs 22:7. Look, this is what's going on. We may pay our taxes and be quiet. We may give respect and honor where they are due and have no further obligation. But we can never, ever, never say, I have done all the loving I need to do. Therefore, love is a permanent obligation and is a debt that is impossible to discharge. Now, what Paul goes on to do here, what he really does is he echoes Jesus' words as recorded in Matthew 22:36-40. This is one of the two commands upon which hang all the law of the prophets. And to love your neighbor means to love the people you actually meet with and deal with on an everyday basis. Okay? It's easy for us to love in the theoretical or in the abstract, but God demands that we love real people with real issues and real hang-ups. And real sin.
Yes.
You see, love is the fulfillment of the law. Oh, we can do all the right religious things we want to, but when we were, it, like Paul said, if I have not love, huh? Where is nothing? Our love is the true measure of our obedience to God. Now let's look at verses 11 through 14. Now remember, this is what the government is supposed to look like. The word of God goes on and says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of our Adam sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Well, as the word of God says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Because we know the dangers of the times, and we are anticipating the return of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and if we know this, then we should be more energetic and committed to walk right with God than ever. You know, too many of us Christians, we need to wake up and stop sleepwalking with God, okay? See, we can do a lot of things like I just said, but yet we're still asleep toward God. We don't have a real relationship with God. Because, see, let me explain something to you. Sometimes people talk in their sleep. Sometimes people hear in their sleep. Sometimes people walk in their sleep. Sometimes people even sing in their sleep. Sometimes people think in their sleep, and we call that dreaming. But again, we can do all these religious things and still be asleep towards God. So we need to make sure that when we're talking about governments and dealing with the governments, we need to make sure that we ourselves are truly awake.
Thank you.
We ourselves are active before God. And we are active by casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. You know, I noticed if the illustration is like it's from taking off and putting on clothes. When you get dressed every day, you dress appropriately to who you are and what you plan to do. Therefore, every day, we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we can cast off, before we can pull down, before we can call out, we got to cast off some stuff. You see, the rags of our sin must come off. And we must put on the robe of Christ.
Amen.
There must be a taking away of the love of sin. There must be a renouncing of the practices and the habits of sin, or else man cannot be a Christian. All it's going to be is an idle attempt to try and wear religion as like some kind of celestial overcoat over the top of old sins. How that's going to work? That's not going to work. I'm just here to tell you that won't work. Now, the works of darkness are characterized as revelry and drunkenness and licentiousness and lust, strife, and envy. Okay, look. These aren't appropriate for anybody that's supposed to be a minister of God. These aren't appropriate for anybody that's supposed to be administrators of God's will. That we're not supposed, you know. Everybody needs to come out of the, we got to pray that these people come out of the night and get into God's light.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what we got
to
do.
Yeah.
We ourselves have to put, first of all, we have to cast off, and then we have to put on the armor of light. You know why we got to put on the armor of light? Because that is a direct, is related to the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we put on Christ, we put on that armor of God. And then we are both able to defend and attack.
Thank
you. You see, putting on Christ is a strong metaphor. It means more than to put on the character of the Lord Jesus. But what this signifies is let Jesus Christ himself be the armor that you wear.
Amen.
Hear me, somebody.
Yeah.
It's more than just taking on his character. You have to let him be the armor that you wear.
Amen.
Excuse me. And when you do that, we won't make provisions for the flesh. Because, see, you have to remember something. The flesh is only as active as we allow it to be. We have to work to do, you know, we have to work to walk properly, and they should be working to walk properly as in the day. You know, it isn't as if Jesus does it for us and we just sit back, you know, and just, well, go on do it, Jesus. Go ahead. You got this. No.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Have to actively partner with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that includes when it comes to dealing with the government. The governments were not set up to be evil, corrupt, full of sin. They were set up, hallelujah, to keep us in check. However, now that was Romans 13. That's the model of government at one end of the biblical spectrum. And this model keeps proper political authority, that it keeps order, it protects citizens, it promotes what is good, and it punishes what is evil.
Mm.
However, sometimes a government can get it wrong, and it can get it so wrong that it doesn't even know what Romans 13 looks like, and they start leaning over toward Revelation 13, which is the end of the spectrum. Now, in this famous passage in John's Apocalypse, we see a terrifying image of governmental power that has turned utterly demonic.
Yeah.
It portrays governmental power at the furthest end of corruption and abuse. This don't really go together, but you can say it is the standard, if you will, the gold standard, if you will, of an evil state. Now, certainly Revelation 13 has application to a final political form that will appear in the end times, yet there's a sense in which the pictured governmental form represents a mixture of political villains throughout scriptural history. The Revelation 13 description of the beast that comes out of the sea recalls empires such as Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And understanding the nature of this political beast in the apocalypse provides us with insights until the moment when a system takes a turn for the worse and follows the dark path of demonic government.
Mm-hmm.
In Revelation 13, the beast arises as an enemy of the true God, the true faith, and the true servants of God at the end of age. Believe it, but yet previous governments in human history have waged war against God and his people as well. Why? Well, Psalm 2 indicates that human rebellion against God begins with the impulse to separate a culture from his commandments. The picture is one of political leaders, the kings of the earth and the rulers, actively resisting the Lord and the Messiah or his anointed. Well, and why did they do that? Because they wanted the free society. They didn't want any moral restraint from God's law. You know, they all shouted in unison, let us tear their feathers apart and cast away their cords from us. As Romans chapter 1 makes clear, such rebellion always leads into a death spiral that proceeds into deeper forms of spiritual blindness. In America, it is heartbreaking to chronicle our nation's turn away from God. Oh, they took his word out of his prayer out of school. They took the Ten Commandments down off the courthouses. Okay. And there is a the resulting devastation is clear. As marriages and families disintegrate, the violent death of unborn is funded with tax dollars, gross immorality is championed, and some of our major cities are filled with bloodshed while entire blocks are being burnt down. It is terrifying to contemplate where such a journey of defiance could wind up. This beast in Revelation 13 winds up speaking arrogant words of and blasphemies against God and all that is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the beast doesn't stop at words, y'all. It proceeds. Hear me now. This is what myself, Apostle Zeta, Pastor Vanessa, and everybody else on Spirit Live has been telling you. He proceeds to make war with the saints.
Uh-huh.
Didn't we tell you we're at war?
Yes.
It is a truism of the human nature.
Amen.
You know what? When our hearts are filled with complete darkness, okay, we might can play the role and fool some people for a little while, but in the final analysis, it all comes out. Everything done in the dark comes to the light.
Amen.
That is why communist governments, for example, began to make war against Christianity soon after they came into power. It wasn't a coincidence that a government that springs from an ideology that rebels against God eventually gorges itself on the blood of those created in his image.
Mm-hmm.
We also see in Romans chapter 1 that sin drives men to refuse to give God glory.
Yeah.
But Paul points out that people do give glory to something. They give it to idols.
Yes. Yeah.
My job, my degree, my this, my that. See, in mm-hmm. Revelation 13, the beast exalts itself to replace God. It becomes an idol. Scripturally speaking, this is fairly typical human behavior for as people and governments grow in power and accomplishment. For example, the taunt against the king in Babylon in Isaiah 14 and the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28 echo the fall of Lucifer precisely because these human leaders arrogantly saw themselves as deities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the last centuries or so, we have become all too familiar with the human tendency to make government or even its human leaders into godlike entities. I'm not. In fascism, for example, the state becomes a modern idol. Benito Mussolini, the originator of the concept of fascism, said this in 1932. The fascist conception of the state is all-embracing. Outside of it, no human or spiritual values can exist, much less have value. Huh. Thus understood, fascism is totalitarianism, and the fascist state a synthesis and a unit inclusive of all values, interprets, develops, and the whole life of a people. Now, these ideals are clearly rooted in the human attempt to become God. To a nation's people, Mussolini goes on to say that the state refashions individuals inside and out, including a person's character and faith. Now, how in the world does it do this? He says the state enforces discipline and uses authority, entering into the soul and ruling with undisputed sway. He out of his mind. Now, we see these same kind of tendencies growing here in America. You know, public education has become, in many districts, an instrument of propaganda. You know, the federal government attempts to force Christian ministries to support abortion and homosexuality, and state colleges and universities actively suppress Christian viewpoints. Parental rights are eroded as the state increasingly absorbs their role as caretakers for their children, or they want to do it. You see, a state that becomes an idol is a false god, and it is not morally neutral. Not only does such a government often wage war against God's people, but it often succeeds in drawing the affection of everyone else. In Revelation 13, the unmatched power of the beast turns to the hearts of people to himself as they declare, who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war against him? Well, Jesus already defeated him, have you know. Now, we have to understand that when we look at what's going on with the government, Revelation 13 portrays the governmental power at the furthest end of corruption and abuse. You know, but what we should do instead of getting all, you know, arguing about, well, it's the Democrats' fault. Well, it's the Republicans' fault. No, what we need to be doing is saying it's the devil's fault.
Yes.
It's the devil's fault. Yes, America and a lot of nations have, you know, they have tilted over to the dark side. But you know what we need to do? What we're doing tonight, we need to remain vigilant. We need to pray for boldness to proclaim the truth. We need to actively work for righteousness while we have an opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we fail to be faithful and obedient stewards of the freedoms we have been given, we might one day be facing a monstrous entity that is at war with the truth. And you know what, saints of God? After a while, that old greedy, green-eyed, horn monster will turn his eyes on us. But we're not coming in here tonight to conceptualize, to intellectualize. We got some stuff going on up in the government. And tonight, with the help of my family, we want you to get out your prayer journal, because we want you to be thinking about specific spirits that we're going to be coming against.
Yes.
Like that spirit of pride, deception,
yes,
lying,
yes,
that spirit of exploitation, systemic racism, systemic oppression. These are the things we need to be praying about.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm telling you right now, as we discuss this tonight, you need to know something. I am in a Nehemiah mindset, okay? I'm not saying, oh, Lord, would you please go have a word with the government? No, I'm saying, Lord, I want you to pull it down, bring it down, stop it, cut it out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Stop.
Oh, God.
Just
thank
like you,
Jesus,
did in your temple all them thousands of years ago. I want you to go up in there and clean house. And people say, well, you can't pray to God like that. Yes,
thank
I
Jesus.
Can,
yes,
because
yes,
all things
yes.
are possible with God. Oh, yes,
yeah,
I can.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what I can't pray.
Yes.
Our governments are losing it. They are self-absorbed. It's me, my, and they lie like rugs. And I'm going to tell you why. Have anybody besides me noticed when these people be running for office, they always have their families all up there, the little children and the little wife up there. And, oh, they just believe in God, and they believe in family moral values and moral values. Okay, okay. So my question is, where did all that go? Where did it go? Because if you loved your family so much, you wouldn't be so quick to make it easy for somebody else to kill theirs. Okay. Yeah,
amen.
I'm going to talk about it. So right about now, I want to bring my family in, and they're going to talk to you. I try, you know, we still got over an hour and a half. And they're going to talk to you now, and they're going to pray. So, and I hope that you're writing down, you know, we pray that you're keeping a war room journal or a prayer journal, so that even when we are not with you, you can just sit
yes.
and pray for these things. You can just sit. You know, you need to know that you have the power of the Holy Spirit on this inside of you. God is in you, with you, hallelujah, helping you. You don't have to call somebody else to pray about the things that concern you. So keep it in the mind that this is intercession. We're not just praying for America, although it is Labor Day. We are praying for all governments because, you know, we got governments that are murdering people.
Yes.
They're the ones that are raping the women. They're the ones that are exploiting the children. So, you know, again, I don't have time to play. This is war. This is war. So the first warrior I'm going to call for right now is Minister Tina Brown. Come on in the room.
Oh, sister, thank you so much, Apostle Cook, for giving us that lesson today on how the governments, whether it's the United States or wherever else, have turned from God, how that is not how God intended it to be, and how we as Christians need to keep prayed up for our governments to be able to bring God back to their lives so that they can repent and have salvation as well. I would like to pray, if that's okay. I'm going to go into prayer. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace, just lifting up this beautiful message that was given us today by Apostle Cook. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory for bringing this message and this topic to the forefront so that we can pray for your people, Heavenly Father, for our fellow brothers and sisters that are in the world right now doing things that are not of you. As we walk out our front doors every day to go about our day, whether it's to work or drop our kids off at school, we see things all around us that are not of you, and we pray as we go about our day. However, we need your help at this time, Heavenly Father.
Lord.
We need you to rebuke those sinful and demonic spirits that are trying to get into our children, our schools. They're trying to ruin families. We ask that you remove those demonic spirits right now, Heavenly Father. Remove them from the government. The government is trying to harm our people and our children by removing things that are not of you, that are of you, and replacing them with things that are not of you, Heavenly Father. So we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you rebuke these things, that you come in and you clean house, like Apostle Cook said. You get rid of these things that are not of you. And we know that the storm is coming and that you are the storm. And you're going to show us what you want us to do as Christians, to assist you, Heavenly Father, as your warriors, to help bring to the forefront of what you desire, not what we desire, not what our desires are, not greed, not power, not idols, nothing like that, Heavenly Father. We appreciate you bringing us, pardon me, to be able to, hold on 1 second, to bring us here tonight to be able to pray together as a family, as a community, as a nation, and other nations as well, Heavenly Father. We know you see what's going on, Lord. We know you know the demonic things that are happening right here and across the world as well, Heavenly Father. We know that this is not pleasing to you, Lord, and we just thank you. Give us the opportunity to pray for these people who are not serving you in the way that they should be. You've given them positions and power, and they are taking your blessings, and they are taking them for their own greed, power, what have you, Heavenly
Lord.
Father. They're not helping the people, Heavenly Father. They're not clearing the streets of homelessness, of violence. They're letting it occur, Heavenly Father, and we know you see this. We know you see this war right now among us, and we just thank you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you right now for giving us the opportunity to be able to pray and to be able to lift this up to you so that you can make it right, Heavenly Father. We know that you can make all things right because you are the King of all kings, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We thank you for your Son who died on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. That was beautiful. Hallelujah. Mother Mitchell, come on in the room.
Amen.
wonderful, wonderful introduction to what we should be and what the government should look like. I found something in my studies in Revelations. It said, intercede, people, on behalf of your nation, that those
yes.
in power, government, and business will repent of any oppressive and unjust policy, that its people will repent of immorality, and turn to God, and that it will become a nation characterized by justice and righteousness.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, wars and rumors of wars, terrorist activities, danger in on every continent, the world
mm-hmm.
is far from a peaceful place in which to live.
That's
but
right. Come on, come on.
As we read and study God's word, we find places in his word about what where we should be and what we can do. I've set for myself a week of these studies and these lessons, and
good.
It will end on day 7, and it will read thusly. Father, when I turn on the news, I see the violence of my world and grow alarmed. Help me to understand what is taking place, to recognize its reality, but also to recognize that you are still in control.
All right.
I praise you, Lord God, for the final victory that will be yours and for the peaceful existence your people will enjoy after that victory.
Amen.
I thank you, God, for all that you give us. You take care of us. You protect us. You hide us under your pinions.
Yes, Jesus.
And we just thank you, Lord God, because you are a good God to us.
Yes,
you
thank
save
you,
us
Jesus.
And protect us. And we
yes.
need you in this horrid world and in these last
yes,
days that we are living, Father God. Help us to find a hiding place.
Yes, Jesus. That's beautiful,
your
sir.
Word,
beautiful,
that
sir.
You will
Amen.
Hide us. In the time of trouble. We thank
yes.
you, Father, and we ask it all in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Bishop, come on in the room, mighty man of God.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. This is an important topic because we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Of the
world.
Amen.
Yes.
That we can not be manipulated so that we can keep carnal things carnal, keep spiritual things spiritual, and never attempt to
yes.
mix two, understanding that the world is going to be the world and the church needs to be the church. And
yeah.
what God has given us to steward and to focus on, then what we can do is we can be the light and the salt wherever possible. So we know what God's concern is to care for the old, the young, the weak, the fatherless, the foreigners, and those who are at risk, those who need protection, because
yes.
those are the ones who are going to be exploited the most. And people
yeah,
will get
yeah.
concerned about people who do not exist than about people who are actually here that need to get up and eat breakfast, that need to go to school, that need clothes, that need shoes, that need housing. And instead of supporting family, we distract one another with emotional issues that have absolutely nothing to do with those that God says he's focused on. So now, when I look at the scripture, and I'm looking at Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, we see how God speaks to his nation, to the children of Israel. And he says, will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. See, God is speaking to his nation. Then he tells them what to do. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be room enough to receive it. He's concerned for them. And now he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And then it says, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. See, God is speaking into the future. He's speaking to the future about his people. And then we see when Jesus Christ is praying in John chapter 17, he says, I'm praying for these that you've given me, God. I'm not praying for the world. I'm not praying for everybody. I'm praying for those you've given me. We should be concerned about those in the church. And then when we go all the way to the furthest extent of what it says in the scripture, in Revelation 22:11, it says, let the righteous be righteous and let the wicked be wicked. We are so focused on trying to make the wicked righteous and then allowing the righteous to be wicked that we're not calling things as they need to be called. We need to have things in order in the church so that when the church is taking care of the church and the people in the church have their needs met, and the old, the young, the weak, the widows, the fatherless, the foreigners in the church are cared for, then we can begin to worry about those in the world who we would like to bring into the church. But when we allow ourselves to get distracted with emotional issues, that's manipulation. And that is how politics works. Politics is about manipulating your emotions and getting you to consider things nothing to do with God's word and God's agenda. So as we submit to the authorities, we have to submit to the ultimate authority, which is God's word, which he... Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we can walk in the light and we can be led by your spirit that you place within us. God, allow us to have our eyes wide open. Allow us to do our absolute best to care for the old, the young, the weak, the widows, the fatherless, the foreigners in our congregation, in our family, in our city, in our community. But first, let us care for those in the church so that we know that we are doing your will and then we are using the resources you've given us for those that you would have us to serve first. Father, allow us prioritize your purposes and not get distracted with nonsense so that we can best steward the resources you've given us so that we can utilize those things to serve those that you have truly assigned us to. God, allow us to walk in peace with all men, and allow us to be a shining example of what it means to walk according to submission and humility to you and your word and your purposes here. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. We're going now, before I continue on with our Spirit Alive leaders, if there's anyone else that's sitting in the studio that would like to lift up a prayer, I just want you to know we will be getting to you, because like I said, we can all pray, hallelujah, Mother Matisse, we can all pray for something concerning our government. Yes, ma'am, Mother Matisse.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Good evening to all of you. I'm glad I was able to tune in, and I'm a little later than usual. But, you know, I just thank God for you all, for Spirit Alive. Spirit Alive family and Miss Givens, thank you all. And keep Mother Givens in prayer. Just keep her in prayer, and I know that you do and that you will. We're lifting Mother Givens up in prayer, lifting up Mrs. Jane Lewis in family prayer, lifting up Carl Jordan in prayer, lifting up the Scott family, Reverend Scott and his wife and family in prayer. And in turn, I'm lifting you all and your families in prayer, thanking you for all that you do, Bishop Cook and Spirit Alive family. May all of you have double honor, double honor.
Bless you, Mother.
And if I may I say a prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Of course you can.
Okay. Father God, King Jesus, we go to your holy, beautiful throne of grace, Lord, as humble as we know how, Lord. First of all, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, Lord. And you're just worthy to be praised, Lord, giving honor and giving glory to you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, right now. Listen up all the sick and shut in, the bereaved families, the homeless, the orphans, the widows, the afflicted, the elderly, the incarcerated behind prison state bars and juvenile bars, the street people, just lifting them up in prayer, even the White House, the president, vice president, even the state capitol, just lifting up everybody in prayer. And again, as I said, lifting up Mother Givens, Mrs. Lewis, Carl Jordan, and the Scott family, and Leona Rochelle, Tony Hughes, and just lifting up all the Spirit Alive family and their families in prayer. And thanking you, Lord, for the gospel, which is the good news of King Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just thank you for King Jesus, who gave your one and only begotten Son, your beautiful darling Son, your beautiful darling Son. He hung, bled, and died, but he rose in 3 days with all power in his hands, ruling the earth, the sea, up under the earth, up under the sea, up under the heavens, ruling the heavens. We thank you, Lord, for King Jesus, and Lord, your Lord of lords and King of kings, and we just thank you right now.
Yes.
Thank you, King Jesus, for the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. You
yes,
didn't have
Lord.
To do it, but you loved us so much, and Father God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes,
the Bible says, whoever believeth in you, Lord, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. I thank you, Lord, for the mother that I have that's gone on to glory, Lord, because she's going home to glory, Lord, but her prayers is still at your throne, the holy throne of grace. Lord,
yes,
thank
yes,
you right
yes,
now. My
yes,
heart is grateful. My heart is grateful, full of thanksgiving. And just Lord, I just thank you, Lord, because you're so worthy. You're just so worthy to be praised. And Lord,
yes,
I'm not
yes.
like I should be. And I pray, Lord, that you fix me, Lord, and
yes,
mold me,
Father,
make me
yes,
Lord, what
yes.
you want me to be. Clean my
yes,
heart, Lord.
Yes.
Clean my heart, Lord, in your blood. Wash my heart in your blood, Lord. Give me a clean heart so I will do things
yes.
acceptable in your sight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And I'm praying for the lost souls
yes.
and the partner of their sins that don't
okay.
know who you are. Praying for the millennial generation, our babies, our young people, teenagers, and our young adults that have never been in the church and don't know who you are, Lord. I'm praying that they give their life
yes.
to you, Lord. And I know, Lord, time is winding up and winding down. Even the devil's time is short because the devil's going to be locked up in the bottomless pit. So he's trying to get as many souls as he can, Lord. He's trying to steal, kill, and devour and everything else to get souls. But, Lord, you take care of your saints and you preserve your saints, Lord. You take care of your own. So I thank
yes.
you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Father God, you told Moses, I am that I am that I am. Father God, your word is, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the first, and I am the last. I just thank you, Lord, and King Jesus Christ say, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father, only by me. Lord, and I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for your word. And King Jesus also said, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and where I be, ye will be also, and I will receive you unto
yeah.
myself. So, Lord, I thank you. And King David was a man after your heart. He's a man after your heart. I thank you, Lord, for King David and all your saints, all your prophets. I can't name all of them. King David, Moses, Daniel, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Job. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for them. Apostle Paul, you turned his life around. He's one of the greatest apostles in the Bible. Timothy, who was who was the spiritual son. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, you're so worthy to be praised. Even Abram, which became Abraham, father of all nations, Abraham, because the Lord showed Abraham favor. Lord, I thank you for your men, the men of God, and even Esther and Ruth. I thank you, Lord, because you're worthy from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same.
Right now,
bless Bishop Cook and all the Spirit Alive family. Bishop Cook, Apostle Zeta, Mother Mitchell, Pastor Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Pastor Tina, and Pastor Tuttle, all of them as Spirit Alive family, Scott family. Bless all of them. Bless all of them. Mother Gibbons, all of them that tune in all over the world. Bless them and their families, Lord. And all these blessings I ask in the precious mighty name of King Jesus, the Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah is the highest praise. And I want to say this, Bishop Cook, I know I talk a lot, but I thank Apostle Zeta. I love the way she teach Bible study. Every time she say a statement, I've never known nobody teach Bible study like her. She always say, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, praise God. I love the way she teach Bible study. Nobody teaches Bible study like she does. Every time she make a statement, she say, hallelujah, and praise God. So God bless her, and God bless you all.
Amen.
Praise him.
Yes. Praying for peace for all over the world.
Thank you, Lord.
All over the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Speak it with that. All right. We're going to get on with it. Mother Apostle Zeta Flowers, come on in the room.
All right, I'm in.
All right.
Praise God. It was such a great teaching tonight, and not only great teaching it was, but also you were bringing out so much awareness of, about what is happening in the government, these government rulers and so forth, and the demonic oppression, and you talked about all these things, and all of that needs to be brought out so that people are really aware of what is going on, because it is, you put it right where it is, and that's Satan, the devil, the enemy, the oppressor himself. Liar, and you touched on some of the demonic forces, and I just wanted to name some of them.
Amen.
I just kind of jot it down. When it comes down to government and these leaders, these rulers, they are operating in the spirit of control, pride, murder, hatred, idolatry, fear, manipulation, and all of these they're using in a way that it's powerful for them, but it's wicked power. And so we need to be praying against these, pulling down these strongholds, binding these demonic spirits. I thank God for the awareness of this, that because we can't ignore what we see and what we know about, because the Lord said he would not leave us ignorant.
That's right.
Okay. So when we know what to do.
That's right.
And what is happening tonight is we're doing it.
Yes, ma'am.
And we can praise God for that, because these people that are in government and offices and so forth that are supposedly over us, we know God is over us, but, they're on this earth ruling. And Satan is through them. And we're fighting against principalities and power, you know, really. That's where it's coming from. However, us coming together the way we are in intercession, warfare intercession,
it's
going to make a difference.
Yes, ma'am.
It will make a difference. God's word is powerful. Prayer is powerful.
Yes.
And all of the weapons that he has given us that you mentioned out of Ephesians, you know, we're operating in these, and the more we do, the better things are going to be.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. For the people, because we know that those that are over the government currently, they're not really for the people.
Nope.
No, they're really not. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. Everyone that had comments and shared about the scripture, it was really powerful.
Yes.
I want to just read one scripture.
Amen.
You know, that's where we're being led to.
Amen.
With all of the teaching and all of the prayers that we have heard tonight. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah.
And it says, if my people, God is talking to us, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's going to make the difference.
Yes, it is going
to make the difference. We have to come humbly before God.
Yes, because
we're coming to Him.
Yes,
nobody
Lord.
Else. It's not about us.
Nope.
It's not about anybody else. It's not idolizing those that we think are in power, but it's all about us coming to God.
Yes.
And being obedient to what He's telling us to do, and we will see a difference.
Yes.
God bless. That's what I felt.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you go ahead and pray then, Mother, if you want to pray now. Don't forget to pray.
I want to pray.
All right.
I do. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every prayer that has gone up.
Yes, Lord God.
We thank you, Lord, that you're really dealing with us.
Yes,
Jesus. Tonight.
Yes.
That we need to be in our
rightful places. Yes, Lord.
Walking upright before you.
Yes, Jesus.
Doing the things that you have commanded that we do. And we know that it's whatever we do, it's all about love.
Yes, Lord.
And whatever we do, we know that we must come forth and operate in love.
Yes, Lord.
As our teacher has said tonight, love is the fulfillment of
the law. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we are commanded. We don't have an option, but we are commanded
to love one another,
to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God for this, because it's allowing us to know where we fit in, where we're supposed to fit in, and how we are to come forth.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
With the godly character.
Yes,
that
Jesus.
Is within us.
Yes.
We should not come forth any other way.
That's right.
Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for using us as your vessels.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that you have given us power.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, that we can utilize the power that is within us, that you have already given us the authority. And so we pray, Lord, that even the more that we will operate in your power.
Yes, Lord.
And all of these principalities and powers that we're dealing with in our nations, across our country.
Yes, Lord.
And everywhere. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Apostle Zeta. That was beautiful. It's just, this has just been, this is really powerful to me. It's really powerful. Because
Glory.
When the saints come together and we, you know, we lock in, I feel God moving. I mean, I'm sitting here with Holy Ghost goosebumps, you know, because this is powerful to me. Hallelujah. Is anybody, now there's other people in the room before I go to Pastor Vanessa. If anyone would like to make a comment, if anybody else would like to pray, please press your one on your keypad, and we will bring you right on into the room, because I don't believe in putting people on blast. I'm just blessed that you're all here touching and agreeing in the same atmosphere with us as we lift up our government. Hallelujah. We really want you to pray about these things daily, you know, because we just can't pray one time and then say, okay, we pray. No, this has to be a part of our daily prayer routine.
Yes.
Daily. Daily. And some of us, you know, we need to turn off the news and turn on to Jesus. We need to turn off our computers, our phones, and we need to turn on to Jesus and really begin to ask him what you can do to make a change concerning the government. One thing you can do is you can vote. Your vote is your voice. You can always vote. And then there might be other things that God will have you do. You know, there might be other ways that you can help. There are governments in other countries where just getting food to eat is an ordeal. It's a mission. So we've got people out there working, you know, trying to get people in these areas where they're war-torn. Or right now we've got a lot of disaster areas. So people are in need, and they need the help of the governing bodies that are appointed wherever they may be. And they really need to remember that these are God's people. Amen. So if there's nothing else, Pastor Vanessa, my darling, come on in the room and take your time, because we have plenty of it. Bless you.
Amen. So just thank you, Apostle Cook, and everyone that prayed about government. It's a system that is not easily prayed for. There's a lot of complex elements to government. And so I know we all have contributed in a way that God led us, and that's what's important. One of the things that I want to talk about is when I think about government, this a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to pray about immigration, because that is something that has been going on in the government that's heavy on my heart. As it pertains to what Bishop Carver was praying about, widows and orphans and people that are marginalized, that are forgotten, and that those in the body of Christ need to be sensitive to them on the governmental level, what is going on. And I also don't believe in sitting and watching the news and all the stuff on social media that is being formulated to tell you what to think about what's going on. You got to ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit, what do I pray? What do I fixate on, and not what the media is telling me and the spin doctors. And they're telling, you're spinning certain stories, giving you a perspective that may not be all true. So I think that when God is dealing with you about elements in government, corruption, or whatever the case may be, that's what we fixate on. And so I'm going to pray about immigration, but I also want to bring up 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, let's see, chapter 2, and it talks about, you know, him, Paul writing a letter to Timothy, and he said, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, and that man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So that's packed with a lot of things right there. He didn't just say pray. He said prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, and supplications. So there's many things that God will tell us to pray about. One of the things I'm going to pray about is immigration, as well as those who are servant leaders in government.
Yeah.
There are those in the body of Christ who we need to keep in mind, who are aware of the corruption and the principalities and power and evil. They are aware of it. They are not necessarily there to change it, but to be an influence in another way. So whatever their assignment is, that we need to pray that they keep the assignment and stay in God's agenda and not their own, or begin to back away or become syncret, where they're mixing things together and saying, this is what God has told me to do, when it's not. It's a mixture.
Amen.
So I pray for that person, because they can't be faint of heart. There's a lot of spiritual warfare, and some of that is systemic. And some of that, like God is saying, wherever I've given you authority, wherever I've told you to take dominion, this is right here. So there's a remnant that has been called to the government. They are politicians. They are ones that write the policies. They are ones that are legislating. They are ones that, you know, as it pertains to those three branches, what is it, the judicial, legislative, and
executive.
All three of those different elements of government, we have a remnant there. So I'm going to be praying for them. And I'm also going to be praying for that, but also the influence that they do have. God wants us to be courageous and know, which I have said many times on Spirit Alive Network, is that our prayers, those that are intentional about their prayers, those that are not just talking, we have to understand that our prayers carry weight. So we have to make sure, first of all, that we're praying the word of God, praying the purposes of God, and also understanding there will be resistance, our prayers and our intercession for government. So, God, I just want to start off by mentioning that, and understanding how important it is. One thing, another one is Proverbs 8 talks about listening to the Holy Spirit to give us divine wisdom and revelation and truth, and being received direction from all other sources eventually leads, especially when we see a lot of chaos, which is why we must specifically pray for wisdom at the gates, which is Proverbs 8. Talks about wisdom at the gates. Talks about opening to the city besides the gates. These are places of influences, and these represent different levels of influence that we have as those who are in government. And I pray for those people to see where they are and not say, okay, the people put me here, so I got to serve the people. Yeah, they're public servants, but the agenda of God and the kingdom comes first. That's right. Yeah. It comes first.
Yeah.
People get twisted and get up there and feel like they owe people, and they begin to become men pleasers, and that's just not the purposes of God. So I'm going to pray fervently for them, especially those who are in a place of conflict where they're serving. There are people in the body of Christ that are called to government, but they're being discouraged by other people in the body of Christ that that's not what they should be doing, and it's ungodly.
Amen.
That's not right.
No.
And so God wants us, he wants representatives everywhere. And so there are those of us that have been called to this and won't go into it because we're afraid of what people might say. So I'm going to pray for that heart, that man or woman of God who is dealing with this, and keeps putting it on the back burner and keeps dancing around the issue and won't go in where God has told them the door is open. Go in and serve and represent me in the kingdom. So, Father God, first of all, I just thank you tonight for us praying for the things that you have orchestrated and designed. Just as Apostle Cook was explaining, that we shouldn't have the opinion that it is an evil thing when you're the ones that you're the one that designed it. We should learn to understand and understand the things that have tried to usurp your power and your wisdom and the things that you had originally designed. Despite us not seeing that, I thank you, Lord, today that everyone that prayed, Father God, there's a specific pulse that you have told them to fixate on, to pray about, that has to do with government. And I thank you for their genuine prayers. I also thank you, Lord, today for government as it pertains to immigration, all the laws in this country. With all the laws that are going on, Father God, I thank you for protecting the innocent, period. Those who are seeking asylum in this country because of all the evil things and corrupt things and abusive things that are going on, then the government is not protecting their people. So you have people running to our borders, trying to get jobs, trying to find to live a safe life, to be protected, to be able to earn and take care of their families, their children, Father God, that have become orphaned because their parents have been murdered. Their parents have been dying of disease and plight. So there's different things when we see young people coming over here, Father God. Protect them, Lord. I thank you for those who are serving that community. Socially, in our neighborhoods and in our communities, as well as those on a government level who are in immigration. Give them hearts of compassion. Give them wisdom. I pray that you just listen to the wisdom that comes from above, not the wisdom that's from below. When it comes to being an intercessor in this area, Lord, not just for the prayer, but the fact that they're there to stop the domino effect. I truly believe how spiritually, Lord, they are dealing with the spirit of rejection. They come here for revenge, some of them. They come here. This is the different attacks that we see. This is the different things that generate the hate, Father God, because of the spirit of rejection when people are dealing with coming over here and being refugees and how they're being treated. There's a whole system to all of this, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, today in the spirit of love, Lord, that comes from Christ, that those who will be drawn to you as Christians, especially, Lord, who want to be able to worship you in freedom, they've come here too seeking asylum as well. I know a lot of Burmese people have ran from persecution here. They're looking for asylum, not just because of the natural dysfunction that's going on, but they're spiritual as well. They want to be able to worship in spirit and in truth without fear of their life. So I thank you, Lord, today for that community. And it's in our neighborhood. There are people that are hiding out in other relatives' house. They're not legally here. Yes. They are afraid for their life. They won't go ask for food. They won't go ask for any kind of help because they're afraid of being sent back to their country or being locked up. That is everywhere. It is everywhere. And Lord, open up the eyes of our heart so that we understand how to serve the community. First of all, how to pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm also going to pray, Father God, I come before you for those who are sent to serve in this area. I pray, Lord, that you raise them up. You called them. So I know, Lord, that I pray that they trust and believe in your word and what you have called them to. I pray, Lord, that you give them courage and strengthen them in the power of their might, Lord, in the power of your might, that they will do that, knowing that you're equipping them to do it. It's not just about their skill set or their intellect or their talents or their careers or the things they're good at. It's based upon you calling them for such a time as this. I think of Mordecai being at the gate. I think of Esther and what she was called to. And there's so many great examples. Daniel, who were administrators in government, Father God. And they knew their purpose and why they were called in a place of they were there, not to necessarily change the system, but be an influence in the system. And I thank you, Lord, today that you're to be witnesses, something that we learned yesterday in service, about being a witness and what that does and what that presents. And what that will illuminate and what that it will expose as it pertains to the kingdom of darkness. They're supposed to be there. So I thank you, Lord, today that where you are in the world, whether you're in this country or whether you're in another country, if you're hearing this, I pray that you be obedient and trust God and begin to ask God to show you how to move. What's the first step? What does that look like for me, Lord? How do I prepare to be in government? Do I have to be a politician?
Yes.
Give me understanding. Give me wisdom, Father God, so that I'm not in a place where you have called me to and it's vacant.
Yes.
But, Lord, I thank you, Lord, today that you begin to raise. I know you're raising these people up. I pray for them in their hearts that they be only courageous and keep
Lord,
being courageous.
Yes.
Giving them a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, for that, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Hallelujah. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace right now, first and foremost, praising you for the saints. Lord God, I want to thank you for their obedience. I want to thank you, Father God, that they saw fit to come out and stand in the gap. And Lord, I pray that you bless them, press down, shaking together until running over. Because you said in your holy word that you are a rewarder of those who are obedient to your holy word. Now, Lord, I come lifted, I stand in agreement with every prayer that has been prayed. Lord, I too pray for a government, Lord, the government to value people over profit. I pray in the name of Jesus that all of these leaders will remember that they are servants and they were appointed by you, Father God, and that they should be doing the things that you say to do. So, Lord God, I'm praying for the salvation and the repentance of those who are in government, for those who are not walking according to the way you told them to walk. Lord God, I pray that they will return to their first love. That's you, Father God. You love us best, you love us first, and you love us most. May all governments, Lord, be more concerned about the most and not the least of us. May countries be ran, hallelujah, in a way that people will be truly blessed and not made slaves to systems or programs, Father God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you, I stand with Pastor Vanessa, lift up these leaders that are in government. Help to keep them courageous, Father God. Let their influence begin to move from the White House. To the Congress, Lord God, to the Senate, Lord God. Hallelujah. We pray that, that you would move in these governments all around the world. And as they see their people suffering, Father God, instead of them thinking of ways to make money, to capitalize on that, I pray in the name of Jesus that their heart would dissolve with love and compassion, and they would be there to help their people, to bless their people, Father God, as you have called them to do, oh God. Hallelujah. It is time, Father God, for your people who are called by your name, Lord, to humble themselves. And Lord, I humbly come before you. I beseech you, oh God. I'm crying out in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you, the Lord, they would hear your voice, and every decision that they make, Father God, would be based upon your principles.
Yes, Lord.
I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those who are in places of conflict, for those who are wrestling with their conscience because they know they're in a place that does not fit who they are. But Lord God, you put us in this world not so the world can change us, but so we can change the world. So Lord God, I come right now asking that all your saints stand up and say, we can change the world through our prayers, oh God. Because when we pray, Lord God, we know that you hear us, Father God. And when we fervently pray, Father God, we know that you will move. Hallelujah. And we're coming as a family, Lord God. We know that we can't cover everything going on in the government in an hour and a half. But, Lord God, you sit high and you look low and you know every detail. Hallelujah.
And you're still in control.
And you are still in control. You are still mighty lifted up on that throne.
Yeah.
And the government still sit up on your shoulders.
So, yeah, Father God, I hope they will come. I pray that they will come to realize that your kingdom, your government is the only eternal government. Your government is the only government that contains that Holy Ghost power, that has the power to raise, the power to heal, the power to save. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will walk through these White Houses, walk through the White House, walk through the Congress, walk through the Senate, walk through these castles, walk through these parliaments.
Yes.
Lord God, walk with some of them are people that are making laws. We want your spirit to be right up in there with them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes. We would pray that they would begin to pray before they made decisions.
Yes.
We pray that they would begin to seek your face, Lord God, before they sign bills, before they pass laws. We pray, Lord God, that we would be effective witnesses and we would be an effective defense against the enemy and his tactics. He has invaded our government. You did not create them to be corrupt. You did not create them to be greedy. You did not create them to have power. You created them to govern your people. So I would pray, Lord God, that they would remember we are all made in your image.
Yes.
And when they don't take care of us, they're not obeying you.
That's right.
So, Lord, I just want to thank you. I pray for obedience, Father God. I pray for courage, oh God. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord God, that they would get up, stand up, speak out for you, oh God. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed. So, Lord, we just come thanking you for this time. Once again, I want to thank you for Mother Mattie and Mother Mitchell.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for Lee and Terry Larson. I want to thank you for Pastor and Bishop Carver. I want to thank you for Minister Tina. Lord God, bless their households.
Yes, Lord.
Bless them going out and coming.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank Lord God,
Lord.
Lift them up. And if there's any sick among us, Father God,
yes,
Jesus. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch with your holy hand.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, because we know you're a miracle worker. Huh? We know that you can do all things but fail. We know, Father God, that you are the great I am. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We know, Father God, that you are a way maker.
So,
Lord, go before us, oh God, and bless as only you can. And I pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, God.
Amen and
you
amen.
You have been listening to the war of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With the spirit of myself and the spirit of our family.
Thank
now, we pray that you wrote down as we go through these intercessions. We pray that you will write down these key words and these spirits and that you would continue to pray for them throughout your week. Make them a part of your daily prayers. Hallelujah. And as we go through each, the next time we meet, we're going to be talking about the healthcare system. We're going to start taking on these principalities one at a time, and we're going to start praying about them. And we're going to start, you know, and we're going to call a thing a thing.
Yes.
We're going to call a thing a thing. Because, see, we can't make any changes if we're going to sugarcoat stuff. If we're worried about offending somebody. As long as we are standing on and in the word of God, hallelujah, we stand on.
That's it.
And we never stand down.
No.
We stand on, we never stand down. Because we're standing on the rock of our salvation.
Yeah.
We don't have to stand down. We don't have to take Satan's mess.
Thank you, Lord.
So we just want you to continue to pray. Keep your prayer journals. I know it's a lot. But write things down. Write scriptures down. Pray those scriptures.
Amen.
Read those scriptures. You know, let them marinate down in your spirit. So then the Holy Spirit will tell you how you should pray for family or for the government or for whatever we're praying for at the time.
Yeah.
So I just pray in the name of Jesus that you all just were blessed that the prayers encouraged your heart. I know they encouraged mine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I pray in the name of Jesus that you would continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow you can listen to our man of God, Bishop Lester Carver, for Tuesday night teaching. He airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Wednesday, you can hear from Apostle Zeta Flowers, and she brings her All Nations Bible study. Thank you, Jesus. And we just praise God for Pastor Vanessa, who is the host of Wounded No More, and Mother Mitchell and Minister Tina are always faithful and active in our Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience service. So on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive, we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do.
Yeah.
You continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and
yes,
God bless you from all of us here at Spirit Alive. Good night. Okay, it's love time. Good night, family. I love you. God bless
you.
Love
you
all. Thank you so much.
You
all. Beautiful
love you all.
Love,
I love you too, Bishop.
Love
you all.
Thank you so much.
God bless
you.
Everybody.
Good night.
Love you guys.
Good night. That was so wonderful. Love you all. That was wonderful.